You and I back together again, wrapping up a very busy week on Friday, August 30th, 2024, on Connecticut Today. I started the show wondering, after word broke regarding the death of a prominent pro hockey player and his brother, why so many people still continue to drink and drive. Monroe resident Scott Pearson updated his viralchange.org petition to try and drive change for electric bills in the state. And former Bridgeport Democratic State Rep Chris Caruso touched on the same issue as well.
You know, people who knowingly and willingly drive drunk are among the worst individuals on the planet. Honest to God, I think a DUI, especially with fatalities, that should be a 20, 30-year prison term. I don't know what's going to happen in this case in New Jersey. And look, I'll admit to you, in my 63 years, I think, and I was thinking about this, hearing this horrible story of an NHL star killed earlier, yesterday, when he was bicycling in New Jersey, along with his brother, by the way, who played for a little bit with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers at the arena. But, you know, I was thinking back, and I'm thinking to myself, in my 63 years here on this wonderful little marble floating around, I think I drove drunk. Now, I don't want to say buzzed or slightly intoxicated. I'll just use the word drunk. I'll come right out and say it. Probably twice. Once for sure, maybe one more time. In 63 years. And I think after that second time, you know, when you're sitting there and you're in a moment when you say, how did I get here? Like, you remember getting in the car and you and you're home and you're parked and you say, whew, how did that happen? And from now, again, I was much younger. I mean, it was in my 20s. But I said to myself, never again. I'm sorry, never again. So it appalls me. It fascinates me. It really saddens me when people who know they are drunk, not buzzed, not on that line. I've had friends of mine who have gotten written up for, you know, 0.9 instead of 0.8, and they were able to do a plea bargain, or 0.10 instead of 0.08. But when you're just drunk, how low class of a person does it take? And I guess maybe if you're an alcoholic, I don't know. But we hear over and over and over and over again, get a ride home. Nobody's saying you can't go out and get polluted drunk. I mean, fall over, fall, slam your nose in the pavement drunk. You can go out and do that. Just get a ride home. Just get a ride home. This story out of New Jersey, the driver charged in connection with a crash that killed NHL star Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew, who I said played for a little bit with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, told police he had 5 to 6 beers prior to the incident, and the guy goes out and drives. Now, look, I'm not a little guy. I'm not. My weight is slowly coming down. I've really started to battle it over the last 4 or 5 years. I'm about 20 or 30 pounds away from where I want to be, so I'm in 2025. I think I'll get there, trying a bunch of different things. They seem to be working. But when I see this kind of a story, the guy, he admitted to cops he has 6 beers. Who goes to a bar and has 6 beers and is a responsible human being? No, seriously, if you go to a bar and get in your car, you're mentally ill. You have a mental illness. I'm not talking about going to a bar or a restaurant and having a nice steak dinner and maybe a glass of wine or maybe 1 or 2 beers at the most. I can't remember the last time I had a second beer. It's one and that's it. But what kind of mentally deranged individual goes to a bar and has a half dozen beers and then drives? Well, I know what you're going to say. A drunk driver. Okay, I get that. But why? I get it. There's a physical addiction. But the amount of times we hear this sort of stuff is nuts. Is there that much distress in people's lives that they constantly have to medicate each other and medicate themselves? 43-year-old Sean Higgins charged with two counts of homicide by a vehicle in the Thursday collision that claimed the lives of Johnny Goodrow, he was 31, and his brother, Matthew, 29. They were on pedal cycles, bicycles, on Route 551 just after 8 p.m. when they were hit by a Jeep Cherokee that was driven by Higgins. Authorities believe Higgins used the oncoming lane to pass a sedan and then re-enter the right lane. Investigators say the collision happened when the SUV in front of Higgins moved to the middle of the road to safely pass the two cyclists, and Higgins attempted to pass the SUV on the right. That's what a drunken ass will do. Officers who responded to the scene detected the smell of alcohol on Higgins' breath. That's when Higgins allegedly stated he had 5 or 6 beers before getting behind a wheel. Are you kidding me? Documents also say that Higgins, quote, later explicitly stated, unquote, that his consumption of alcohol contributed to his impatience on the road and reckless driving. So he admits he was allegedly a drunken moron. Goodrow played 11 years, including 9 with the Calgary Flames. For the past 2 years, he's played in the Columbus Blue Jackets. Matt Goodrow played with Johnny at Boston College, and he's played primarily in the minor pro leagues. Do you know people like this? And I can understand whether you may not want to say this on the air, but you can email me, Paul, P-A-U-L, Paul at WICC600.com. Who goes to a bar? I know what the answer is going to be, a drunk. And if you want to get drunk, that's fine. For God's sake, you use Uber. Use Lyft. That's what they're there for. Well, it costs money. Well, yeah, too bad. Such is life. And, you know, I know what people are going to say. Well, this case is only getting the play it is because the guy's a star in the NHL. Well, yeah. But how many times has this happened over and over and over again? And look, I'm all for adult responsibility when you do this. I've said this all the time. You know, if you want to use marijuana or drink, that's fine. But boy, I got to tell you, there's a lot of unhappy people out there. There really are, that are just looking for some way to escape life. Listen, if I have a beer, it's not to get drunk. It's not to get buzzed. It's to complement the food that I'm eating. But it is really sad. And I'm not trying to be stand on some holy mountain here, but my God. This guy goes out and has 5 or 6 beers, and then he tells the cops, well, yeah, I passed on the wrong side, and I was impatient because I was drunk. Unbelievable. And then you have this, and this is why I wanted to start with this today. At 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. How about this? New research showing that, and please, you got to be careful on the roads this weekend. You got to be careful here with the drunks and all the cannabis. Yes, all you people that wanted marijuana. Oh, look at all the economic opportunity that marijuana is going to bring to us. Yeah, fabulous. Are we lifting people up out of poverty yet because of marijuana? Or are all these states doing it because they're basically a bunch of self-hating, you know, suburban white guys and gals who's, oh my God, some areas were over-policed. The use of cannabis and hallucinogenics remained at historically high levels last year. Among adults between 19 and 30, and among adults between 35 and 50. So more people than ever are walking around and driving stoned. But I thought marijuana was a great idea to legalize. Oh, yes. The survey found that 42% of adults between 19 and 30 reported using cannabis in 2023. 10% said they used it daily. Excellent. Excellent. Which Grateful Dead concert are you listening to, by the way? Oh, Europe 72. That's pretty good. Nearly 30% of adults between 30 and 50 reported using it last year. Women between 19 and 30 reported higher cannabis use than their male counterparts. It's got to be the fault of the guys, though. Males between 35 and 50 reported a higher use of cannabis than females in the same age group. Cannabis vaping also increased among younger adults last year, with 1 in 5 saying they've participated at least once. Additionally, nicotine vaping remained high among younger adults, with about 25% saying they have participated at least once. The use of hallucinogens, LSD, mescaline, peyote, shrooms, or psilocybin continued a 5-year trend of increasing. 9% of respondents, 19 to 30, say they used hallucinogens. 9%, that's 1 in 10. 1 in 10% of anybody you know between basically 20 or 30 is using a hallucinogen. You want to get in the car with them? Compared to 4% of respondents 35 and 50. Can somebody explain to me why so many people are drunk? Why so many people have this affinity to, what are they doing, honestly? Are they trying to soothe some sort of inner pain? Maybe they are. I don't know. But, again, was any of this taken into account when the General Assembly in Connecticut and all these other states said, oh, God, we're so sorry for the over-policing. Here, get as stoned and high as you want. That's pretty responsible, isn't it? So between people who, for some reason, want to alter their mental state, whether it's booze, drugs, mushrooms, you folks out there, if you cannot do this in an adult, responsible way, and you're hurting us, you're putting a lot of people in danger, whether you realize it or not. Look in the mirror sometimes. At least a couple, 3 times a show, I've been updating you on this petition at change.org, change.org. We've been talking about this. It's a very popular website. There's a bunch of different petitions there. It's fascinating just to go to and click through and see who's passionate about what. And our next guest posted something a bunch of weeks back, and it's kind of taken off now, and if we're not getting the reaction in Hartford we want, people still know it's out there. And Scott Pearson joins us. Scott is saying, we, the residents of Connecticut, demand that Governor Ned Lamont and the appointed director of PURA, Marissa Gillette, revoke the massive increase in our electric bill now labeled public benefit. And this is one of the things that really has got people, from legislators to regular people to columnists to talk show hosts, talking about this, and Scott Pearson joins us. We had him on a few weeks ago. Hey, Scott, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
You're a little bit of a celebrity now, Scott, a little bit. I know you're a humble guy from the first time we talked, but did you ever think this would top, what are we, at 64,000 and change right now? Did you ever think this would get that big?
No, it's actually amazing. I figured like 500 and, you know, and I'll just send it in and that'd be done, you know. But it really has taken off because a lot of people are really mad.
Yeah. And Scott, you know, the people in Hartford, and I get it, there's good people on both sides, but, you know, they want to pose this as a Democratic problem or a Republican problem. Listen, there's no Democrat or Republican on the electric bill, Scott. They don't ask what your party affiliation is. Everybody has to pay their power bill, no matter who they follow politically.
And that's correct. And I wanted to keep it bipartisan because I didn't want anyone to stray from Democrat or I'm a D or I'm an R. But, you know, face it, you know, the Democrats have been in power since 2011, both Senate, House, and governor. And they are in control. So no matter what the Republicans try to do, you know, they're going to get overruled. Now, yes, the Millstone was a bipartisan effort, and that agreement was in started in 2019, 10-year agreement to 2029. Okay, fine. But I don't understand why nobody's talking about the press release, August 6th, where Governor Ned Lamont said he received $389 million from a federal grant money. Mm-hmm. And this money is to strengthen our grid, power systems, reduce outages, and get this, expand clean energy and lowering the cost of consumers.
Mm-hmm. And also, Scott, after this, a few days later, which really got people ticked off, was the PureVote to raise the bills on average for a few months, $3 to $5 a month. And we find out, Scott, that some of that money is going to help expand the EV charging network. Well, that's nice if you have an EV, but why is everybody paying for that? So, again, that in and of itself getting people upset as well.
Well, that is absolutely correct, and that is absolutely unfair to the people who decide to have gasoline engines, don't want an EV, whether or not it fits their lifestyle or not. And not only that, UI and Eversource people are paying for this EV infrastructure, but as you know, Wallingford, Norwich, and all the other small little mm-hmm. companies, they're exempt from this.
Scott, have you heard from, you don't have to name names or name people, but have you heard from people applauding you, maybe whispering your name under their breath, or what kind of, you're laughing, Scott, what kind of reaction have you generally gotten from this? And again, you don't have to name names, but what have you heard? What have you heard?
Well, I've been in contact with several legislators. You know, Jeff Gordon, he's awesome. You know, he wants to talk to me all the time. Well, when he can, you know, of course.
Yeah.
And he's saying good job. And Norm Needleman. So he's the co-chair of the Energy and Technology Committee. And, you know, he's great. Good things about him because he wrote me, you know, a very long email. Even though on my post have the latest updates, I don't know if you read it, but he mm-hmm. didn't really answer me on a written, and Jeff Gordon did. So yeah. I posted that on one of my updates, and everyone who signs an email, get a valid email address, will get my update. So about, you know, 60,000 people, probably half read them, but I do talk to a lot of people, and they say, oh yeah, I read your updates. I love
wow.
your updates.
Good
so,
for you. Yeah.
yeah.
You know what, Scott? I think that, and I said this the other day on my show, I said, look, this is complicated. We all know this. This took years to entangle. It's going to take years to untangle it. But I think, Scott, what you've done is just show legislators and show the governor that there are thousands of people in the state just saying, just listen to us. Like, do we have your attention? And all they want, Scott, are legislators to say, we hear you. We you're mad, we hear you. It's all they want.
And I agree. And that was on my last update. You know, even if they don't want to go to special legislating, at least they can acknowledge to people that, hey, let's talk about it. Let's begin the conversation. But, you know, first of all, it's not me. It's everyone. You know, I just started this thing. And I have to do an edit, including the pure, anger. I don't even know what to say because this really boggles my mind because it's the audacity of PURA to actually raise our rates once that official rate went out in July.
Yeah.
They want to raise in September. It's just, you know, I can't understand the disconnect between us, the consumer, and especially the lower income people and the people on Social Security that they just don't hear us.
Yeah.
So maybe this, you know, this petition will gain the notice, and it has been noticed.
Mm-hmm.
It was like over 350,000 views of it.
Wow.
And change.org got over $10,000 in donations.
Wow.
And now if you go on the petition, you go all the way down.
Yeah.
Now they list, you know, mega portfolios, a couple of articles about this. And so, you know, it has gained the traction that I wanted, and that's good. The ultimate goal is to actually you know, has something to be done about it. And mm-hmm. if it takes decades, then, you know, I don't think I'm going to be alive.
You and me both. Hey, Scott, listen, congratulations. Keep up the good work. Like you said, over 60,000 people signing on to this, 300,000 page views, and that is good. Scott, thanks for taking the time out of your busy day. We appreciate it. Thanks, man, and have a good weekend.
Hey. No problem, Paul, and thank you for promoting this petition. It's really awesome what you do.
All right, thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Scott Pearson there. All right, let's see what's on the mind of Chris Caruso, former Democratic state rep of Bridgeport. We bring him in every Friday at this time to take a look back at the week and say, mod on, oofa. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
How you doing, Paul? Happy Labor Day.
Yes. A day, a weekend where we, Chris, honor those who are in unions and not in unions and honor the American worker.
Yeah, it's hard to believe the months have gone by so quickly, Paul, and we're now at Labor Day. It's really amazing. Yeah. Time has just been going by quickly, you know?
Absolutely. So, Chris, what caught your eye this week locally, nationally? What's on your mind?
Well, this issue with utility rates.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating. And, there's always backstories to all of this.
Sure,
stuff,
sure.
And one of the backstories is that when I was in the legislature, I found it amazing that the salaries of the PURA commissioners are paid by the utilities.
Nothing unsavory about that, right?
No. And I think that's been going on for years.
Yeah.
And, frankly, that's been the whole issue, not just with utility companies, but others that lobby up there.
Yeah.
You were mentioning Matt Ritter's, the current Speaker of the House, comment. Well, the truth is, when I was in the legislature, his father was the Speaker, Tom Ritter.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
Tom was advocating for the deregulation of the utilities. And I remember that came up as an issue. I voted for it because mm-hmm. I felt it would be positive for the consumer. And initially it was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the rates started going up again. And we took it off deregulation and brought it back, to where it is today. Mm-hmm. And then he left the legislature and he became a lobbyist for the utilities. So when you hear Matt Ritter's response, I don't want to question his integrity or his motive, but it's the whole culture, if you will, mm-hmm. that goes on in the legislature.
Yeah.
So, and then you have a PURA a chairman of the PURA board, Gillette, who I think is very good. She's very aggressive. There's no question. She's kicked up enough anger from the utilities that they're trying to remove her.
Yeah.
But she has the support of the governor and she has the support of the leadership of the Energy and Technology Committee for the legislature, which mm-hmm. is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And she's raised a lot of issues and she's trying to get the utilities into a performance-based practice where that's how you set rates based on their performance, based on their needs and so forth. And she's been met with tremendous pushback. So, when people get all upset and angry about the rates, understand that there are people trying to do the right things, but, there's that pushback from the lobbyists, from the power in the legislature that, unfortunately, doesn't hold some of these utility companies accountable.
What do you think, Chris? Let me ask you quickly, what do you think is the reason why we, and maybe there's a solid reason, please correct me if I'm wrong, but PURA is supposed to have five people, it only has three. Yeah. What do you think's going on there?
Well, probably they've been functioning okay. You have them, three gives you the majority of five,
mm-hmm.
and maybe there wasn't a need to put two more on, to be honest with you. Most governors have kept the three.
Yeah.
And maybe the feeling is go with the three. But I think the legislature, did pass the law that you could have up to five. And I think that's what happens. You look at towns, for example, Bridgeport, there are commissioners that their terms have expired and they haven't been replaced. And there's some commissions, not only in Bridgeport, I'm sure throughout the state, where there's supposed to be a set number, but there's less. But as long as the majority can transact business. But, I think there should be someone on PURA that is, advocating for the consumer. I
mm-hmm.
think they do in their own way, but I think someone who's independent, autonomous, where they can come in and look at it from a different perspective.
Yep.
I think someone with an economic background probably would be helpful. someone with background in utility would probably be helpful. Not so much an employee of the utilities company or a retiree of the utility company, but, you know, people that have studied these issues. You know, Gillette, for example, she has a background in utilities, and she holds them accountable. And there's nothing wrong with being held accountable. That, you know, I think that's critically important. It's important for the consumer. It's important for the state. It's important for the utility companies that they're held accountable. And I think they're fighting that. So now the talk is, okay, well, we got to fill the other two spots, and that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean because you didn't fill the other two spots that, you know, the commission can't hold the utilities accountable. And when the utilities are right, you know, they should be cited for that. And when they're wrong, they should be held accountable. I think that's a fair process. But there's all these backstories, Paul, and the power of the lobbying that takes place.
Oh my God, yes, yeah.
And it's such a, I just don't want to cast dispersion on utilities because there's a lot of corporate interest up in the legislature. There's a lot of special interests that go on, and that's where the pressure is applied to the legislature, to individuals up there, and there's friendships and relationships over the years, and you know, unfortunately, sometimes you know things don't work the way we want them to, but again, accountability is going to resolve a lot of those issues. You know, it's terrible though that you know the rates went up to the level they have. It's difficult, and I've talked to a lot of seniors in particular with fixed incomes that find it difficult. You know,
is this an opportunity, Chris Caruso, for everybody to just take a step back and look at the fact that this change.org petition has 61,000 people who actually signed on to it. Scott Pearson told us earlier, but the page views, and not everybody wants to sign on to this. They're a little wary of this. The page views have 300,000. If you're in the legislature right now, what are you thinking? Are you scared? Are you saying, oh boy, people are really upset here. How do we get them to believe in the process? You know, Chris, we always talk about a teachable moment. And I think, Chris, that people just want to hear the General Assembly, both sides, leaders on both parties say, hey, this is complicated, but we hear you. You're mad. We get it. We understand it. We did this. We hear you. Isn't that what just people are looking for?
Oh, I think so, Paul. It's as simple as that. But the other truth to it is that in politics, opportunity presents itself, and the smart politician is the one who takes advantage of that opportunity in a good way to help their constituents. For example, when I was in the legislature, for years we tried to get revocation of pensions by public officials.
Oh, yes, I remember that,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And couldn't get it, you know, no matter what, every year we tried. And what happened was, you know, you had John Rowland committing the crime, and then there was a gentleman from Waterbury, a state senator, that was indicted on something to do with garbage removal and so forth.
Yeah.
And that just pushed it right over the edge where we were able to get revocation of pensions. And this is the same thing. When there's a hue and cry by the public, that's the opportunity to make change. That's the opportunity to reform. My only concern, just because of the power up there of the lobbyists and the way the utilities operate, that we may lose this opportunity. But this is the best opportunity. It's the right way to make reform. People are angry. They're signing petitions. They're contacting their legislators. I think that's time to do this, Paul, by all means. I really do. And the other side is, what's so difficult about all the legislators on a bipartisan basis sit down and try to work it out?
Chris, that's what I mentioned. You probably heard me this week saying, people know this special session, Chris, is not going to solve this.
Yeah.
But what is wrong with both sides getting together, have it, you know, yuck it up, be happy, smiling, have a news conference and said, okay, we got the message here. This is going to take a long time. You know, this is like going to the moon. You know, we're starting from issue one here, but we're adults and let's do something like this. What's the problem?
But, you know, Paul, it's entrenched thoughts. It's probably leadership pushing in one direction. You know, well, we're not going to get together. And it's pride. You know, it's all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's ego. You know, who's going to, you know, take the first dance, all this stuff. But in the end, it can only be beneficial for the consumer. It can only be beneficial for the people of the state. And frankly, it could be beneficial for the utilities, too.
Yeah.
You know, but the point is, you've got to sit down. You got to try to get to the middle somewhere on this stuff. Because if you don't, all you're doing is you're putting more and more pressure on a on the residents of the state, and you're also putting pressure on the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Connecticut is one of the highest electric rates and utility rates,
mm-hmm.
In the 50 states.
And the governor, Chris, finally, the governor's right on this. Now, I give him kudos.
Yeah.
Ned Lamont has a talent because of his business background to basically bottom line it. And he said, well, we hardly generate any power. We do some, but not much. And of the power we get, we're at the end of the distribution chain here. That's why it's expensive.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, the one thing about Ned Lamont that I picked up, he has a lot of common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just his business background. He just has common sense. You know, let's sit down and try to work out an issue. You know, the budget, he's brought Republicans in on, he's brought the Democrats in, and that's really what you want. You know,
mm-hmm.
Do you get 100% of an elected official that everyone finds they're beautiful and perfect? Of course not.
Yeah.
But you know, the governor's been trying, and he needs to be applauded for that. I think that's why he wins successfully and he has the ratings he does, is because he tries. And it's not this thing, well, I'm not going to talk to you because you're a Republican.
No.
It's ridiculous. So I think, you know, the state does well with a guy like Ned Lamont because he becomes that arbitrator to bring people together. And I think that's only beneficial, especially in issues like this, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, when people are hurting, this is the time that you step up, you put aside your political differences, and you
mm-hmm.
try to get to the middle somewhere and negotiate things that are going to be good for people. I think that's the way it should be. And, you know, if we had a little bit more of that in Washington, we'd be in good shape.
Yes.
A little bit more in Connecticut, you know, and then I think people can understand and appreciate it and say, okay, well, hey, government is trying, and that's the key.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to make everyone happy, but you try, you know.
And as far as negotiating, you know, I read once where there was I think it was Count Basie who told his orchestra guys right back in the 40s and 50s, if they came up with a riff, right, and it became a Count Basie song and not their song, and when they pushed back on that to talk about your negotiating stuff, Chris, he said, well, you can have 50% of something or 100% of nothing. What's it going to be?
Isn't that true, Paul? You know, I when I worked with labor unions, you know, they used to get upset if I didn't vote with them. And I'd say, listen, you're going to get 75% of me because I understand the need.
Yeah.
But, you know, go work with the other side and see what you get.
Exactly.
And they look at me and they say, you know, Chris, you're right. So, you know, I believe in your issues. I believe in your policies.
Yeah.
But there's times I have to be free to vote for something because I don't think it's in the best interest of my constituents.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul, they came out and supported me every year. It wasn't like, well, you know, we're done with you.
Yeah.
Because the opposition would give them nothing. So, you know, I think, you know, groups in Hartford have to understand that,
mm-hmm.
that a legislator has to have some autonomy. They have to have independence to represent their people. But no, and you know, the thing with negotiation, Paul, you
mm-hmm.
go in, and if something is negotiated, when they leave, both sides are angry, both sides are upset, didn't get what they wanted.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's probably the best deal.
Exactly.
That is, right?
Exactly, because you've said for years it makes for the best laws. Chris Caruso, Chris, thank you. As always, have a great weekend. Enjoy the long
you
weekend,
too,
and we'll talk next week. Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Be good. Bye-bye. There you go.